So they're going to help us with that, and I'm going to get started. So if we, I always tell people, if we start early, we get done early, right? Oh, man. See, I'm needing some support today, you know, and okay. So we've been on this series that we've entitled Blessed. And we've been talking about the Beatitudes out of Matthew chapter 5. So if you have your Bible this morning, if you want to go there, and we're going to be focusing on Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 this morning. But before we do that, I just want to read down through this opening passage right here. And we've been reading down through this each week. And it says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountainside and he sat down. And his disciples came to him and he began to teach them. And he said, 'Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.'" So as we continue on through this series that we've been talking about over the last few weeks, we've been looking at these Beatitudes, and today we're on the fifth one. And we're going to be looking at this beatitude about the merciful. And this is one that not only deals with our relationship with God the Father, but the way that God also deals with us and the way that we deal with one another. And the way God deals with us is in mercy. And so we're thankful for that. And so again, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So Lord, thanks for today. I just ask that, Lord Jesus, this morning as we dive into your word, that Lord, that you would open our hearts to it. Lord, I praise you and I thank you that, Lord, not only do we read the scripture, but you give us practical examples, Lord, of how we can live this out in our lives every day. And Lord, I just pray that would just be, would come forth today, that Lord Jesus, that we can walk out of this place, Lord Jesus, and purpose in our heart, Lord, to be merciful to those that are around us. And we thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've seen mercy in action, especially this past week, in a big way. You know, we've watched the news. We've seen the things that have happened in South Texas. You know, right here in our own state, we have seen God's mercy and God's grace as we've had people that have responded to the need. And one of the things that I think is so important about what we've been talking about was these are all characteristics of who God is. And can I just tell you that when we ask God for help, did you know that he helps us? You know, when we ask him, he's there to help us. The Bible says he never leaves us, he never forsakes us. In Hebrews, it tells us that we can come boldly into the throne room of grace and there find help and mercy in our time of need. Now, today you may not be in need, but tomorrow you may be. You know, and in the weeks that are ahead, you know, we all kind of, it's like life kind of ebb and flows through these different things. There are times that we need, there are times that we're doing okay. But I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God and how he meets our needs and how he comes alongside of us in our time of need and he helps us. As I was preparing this over these past few weeks, as we put this series together, one of the commentators, and I like what he said, about this very passage, blessed are the merciful, he said, that is, those who are so affected by the sufferings of others as to be disposed to alleviate them. This is given as an evidence, and it is said that those who show mercy to others shall obtain it. So the thing that I want to start out by saying this morning is this, is that God expects us to put feet with our faith. God expects us, if we're going to see a need, to help fill that need. You know, he's going to challenge us in whatever way we can to help others. So basically what this is saying this morning, and I've always said this, that, you know, we take the word as what it says for face value, and it always bothers me when pastors say, now what this really means is this. So I'm not giving you what this really means is this morning, but this is kind of my interpretation of what we're talking about this morning, and that is this. It's saying that we get what we give. We get back what we give. It's the law of direct return. Now I've got to be careful right here this morning, but can I just tell you that if you're a person that criticizes people, expect to be criticized. It's just a thought. And since I've already kind of veered off of my notes, I'm just going to go ahead and fill this in with this part right here. Can I just tell you that people are always really good about coming up to you and saying, hey, I need to talk to you about something. You know, and I picked on Pastor Brian this morning, so I'll pick on him again. And here's what they say. I don't know if you know this or not, but did you know that Pastor Brian, you know, and you're just like, oh, wow, really? You know? Well, can I just tell you, if they're going to talk about Pastor Brian, they're going to talk about you. Now all three of you that agreed with me, I'm just going to run that past you one more time. That if they're going to talk about other people, they're going to talk about you. Okay? And we look at it so many times, we think, well, they confided in me and they this. They didn't no more confide in you than the man in the moon. What they did was they used what the Bible calls, it's a big G word, and it's not God, it's called gossip. Okay? They gossiped, and if they gossiped about somebody else, can I just tell you, if they were talking to you and they're gossiped to you, they're going to gossip about you to somebody else. Okay, I feel better about myself now. So if we're going to criticize people, we need to expect to be criticized back. And then let me just say this. If we're friendly, then others will be friendly in return. And when we exhibit mercy, we're going to receive mercy back. Now, I told you this story in another series that we did some months ago, but I believe it bears repeating right now. There's something about being friendly, and Pastor Brian mentioned this a while ago. Thanks for being a friendly church, and I appreciate Redmond Assembly of God, because I really do believe that we're a friendly church. But there was a man and his wife, and they were moving into a different city, and so as they're pulling into this city, they see this old guy, and he's leaning up against this tree. And so the wife says to the husband, pull over, I want to talk to that old guy for a minute. So he stops the car, she gets out, and she walks up to this guy leaning against a tree, and she says, hey, we're new to this community, we're just moving into this area. And she says to this guy, what kind of people live here? And the old guy looked at her and says, well, I've lived here all of my life, let me ask you this question, what kind of people live in the community that you came from? And she said, well, they were gossipy, they were complainers, they criticized people, there was just a lot of stuff that was drama all the time. And he looks at her and he says, well, I've got bad news for you, I think you're going to find the same thing here. Now, half an hour later, another guy and his wife come driving into town, same thing, they're moving into this community. And this lady sees this old guy sitting against a tree and she says, stop, I need to talk to the old guy sitting against the tree. So she goes up to him and says, hey, my husband and I are just moving into this community, and I'm just wondering, what kind of people live here? And he says, well, I've lived here all of my life. Let me ask you a question. What kind of people lived in the community that you're coming from? She said, they were kind, they were gracious, they were very caring, they were compassionate people, and we were so disappointed that we're having to move, but because of situations, we're having to come to this community. And he says, well, I think, ma'am, that if you'll pay attention, you're going to find the same thing here. Now, can I just tell you that the way that we handle things, that's usually right here, isn't it? You know, we look at it, and I'm just going to be the bearer of bad news, but here's what the Bible says, that if you want friends, then you show yourself friendly. Now, pastor's going to get on a soapbox here for just a second. Because I've been a senior pastor almost 25 years. And in the 25 years that I've been a senior pastor, I've had people come and they said, people in this church are not friendly. And I said, really? I haven't pastored this church for 25 years. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church that I pastored before I got here. That's a great recovery right there. I don't care who you are. That was smooth. That was smooth right there. Here's what happens. As an observer, people will come. They won't approach anybody. They won't say anything to anybody out in the hallway. They'll come in, they'll find a chair. When it comes to the greeting time, they never budge. You know, and their look on their face, they look like they were baptized in dill pickle juice, you know. And so people are afraid to approach them. They're just like, oh, I don't know, you know. And so they don't, and they don't make a move or anything. And then whenever the pastor, before the pastor even says the final amen, they're already out. And my reason for saying that is this, that if you want to have friends, folks, be friendly. Love people. Love people. My wife will always tell me, she'll say, listen, she'll send me for a loaf of bread down at the store, and I come back 2 hours later. And she'll say, who did you see at the store that you knew? You know? And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, friends, but here's what I'm saying is this, is that we got to love people. We got to be friendly to people, you know? We have to let people know that we're thankful that they're here, that we appreciate them being here. Okay, I'm going to go back to being nice Pastor Dwayne now. So in this, we know when we talked about blessed that there's another word for this, and it's happy. Happy are those. If we want to be happy, that is blessed, then we need to treat people the way we want to be treated, which is the heart of the golden rule. And so the right way to treat others is with the same mercy that we've been shown by God. Now, that's simple for us to grab and get our head around this morning because we want to treat people the way that we've been treated by God the Father, okay? We want to be treated the way that takes place. So one definition of mercy is that mercy is not getting what we deserve. Aren't you thankful for that? See, because the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the wages of sin are death, but instead we receive God's mercy. So when we look at what God has done for us, we see God, and so we could say this definition of who God is mercy, because God is about mercy, that mercy is love in action, because God loves us today. See, mercy is more than merely an attitude. It's more than feeling sorry for someone. It's doing something about it. This is literally one of the attributes of God, because God is a merciful God. Therefore, God is love in action. We have seen this week, and it's just been amazing to me how we watch the news and you see all these things. But friends, listen, we don't see everything. We don't see all the side stories. It has been amazing to me to see the graciousness and the mercy of people who have sacrificed and really put their lives in jeopardy to save people this week in South Texas. It's just been amazing to me. And we know, and friends, here's the thing. If we had some kind of a catastrophe like that in Redmond, the people of Redmond, Oregon would be the same way. I know they would be. You know, I know they would be. We would be that way. Here's what the Bible says, and this is why we know that God is a God of mercy. In Psalm 145, verse 8, it says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He is slow to anger and great in mercy. And because God is a merciful Father, then he expects his children to be merciful as well. He expects us to be merciful to each other. So in Luke chapter 6, verse 36, it says, therefore be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. But we ask ourselves, how do I extend that and how do I show the mercy? How do I do those things? And I want to just give you some points this morning that I believe will help us as we go down through here, because what we see in Jesus and what we saw in Jesus' life is he went about, and the scripture says this, doing good. He did good. I like doing good. Good. You know, I like watching people do good. So one of the things that we see about how Jesus acted and how he wants us to live and what the marks are of a merciful person, the first one is this, is that they're patient. God wants us to be patient with one another. See, we encounter all sorts of different people, okay? There are all sorts of different people with their own particular and peculiar little quirks, okay? And it's always kind of interesting. And, you know, I learned a long time ago that I can't be responsible for everybody else, but I can be responsible for me. So I don't try and figure people out. I just let people be who they are, and I just love them in spite of it. Pretty simple philosophy of life. You know, just feed me at noon. That's all I care. Okay? Pretty simple philosophy of life. Because we encounter all these. The Bible says it like this in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient to all. Who is all? Everyone, isn't it? Be patient to all. See, we need to be patient with everyone, which is something that I'm certainly still working on, and I believe more than likely, probably so are you in the room this morning. But if we want to be blessed, then we have to be merciful. And to be merciful, we need to be patient with those who don't always fit into our mold. Now, one of the things that happened to me is when I got saved and I gave my heart to Jesus a number of years ago, I just kind of got all in. And I just kind of went all in. And, you know, I had no reason to be at the church except I couldn't stay away from it. You know, I'd stop there on my way home from work every day. And I'd walk in and the pastor would look at me and goes, like, what are you doing here? And I go, because I like you. No, and I did. But I just wondered if they had anything that I could do. You know, is there something here that I can do? And so anyways, he started talking to me, and he gave me like this one thing. Well, you can go down, and there's this storage room down in the basement where the furnace is and stuff, and it kind of needs to be cleaned out, and it needs to be swept and some different things like that. And I'm just like, all right. So I did. So the next day I stopped by again, and I said, is there anything I can do? And finally he got this figured out, that I really did mean that I was willing to help and I wanted to do stuff. So he started making a list. So I painted and I scrubbed toilets and I did all sorts of things. You know, I helped build things and there were things, and I just kind of got all in and I was excited about it and the Lord was helping me. But when it came to this and you know, I was thinking, you know, this is what it's all about. Well, when I became a senior pastor, I kept asking, where's that Dwayne guy at? Because we need this done, and we need this done, and we need this done. And I kept thinking, where's that Dwayne guy at, you know? And so finally, one day I went home, and I got to be honest with you, I was probably criticizing what I said a while ago. And I was just like, where in the cat hair are these people? You know, we've got all this need. We've got all this stuff going on. And I always call this the gospel according to Gretchen. Who I have been wonderfully married to for 38 years. Okay? I know I don't look that old, and neither does she, but it's true. Here's what the gospel according to Gretchen was, and she'd say this: not everybody's like you. And I'm like, the world would be so amazing. I doubt that. Let's scratch that. Let's go back. She goes, not everybody's like you. And I go, well, they should be. And she goes, but they're not. You know? And you can't expect people to be like you. Aren't you thankful that she protects you that way? That she sticks up for you. And friends, can I just tell you, it's kind of a hard lesson to learn, because, I mean, you're just committed, you're into this, it's just like, you know, you're gung-ho about all of it, but I can just tell you, whatever you're passionate about, not everybody's going to be passionate about it. Whatever you're really into that you dig and that you just think is the coolest thing since sliced bread, not everybody's into that. And we can't expect everybody to be into that. What we've got to do is let people be who they are. We've got to love people for who they are, not put expectations on them that they can't uphold. See, we can't do that. And so what we do is we love people and we're merciful with people. We need to be patient with everyone. So how do we become patient with everyone? Well, here's some things that I've learned that I'm just going to talk to you about out of my own experience. And that is this: if we'll learn about their background, if we'll learn about their background, understand where they came from and stop looking at how far they have to go. Are you hearing me? Stop looking at how far they have to go and instead look at how far they've come. It's a big deal. It really is. You know, when you think about it and you think about all these things, there are people today that you know and that I know that are involved in things that 2 years ago they would have never been involved in. You know, we have to be patient. We have to give people opportunities, and we have to love people. And whether they involve in the stuff that we think they need to be involved in or not, it's not up to us. That's up to them, and it's up to the Lord working in their lives. And friends, we can't rush that in their life. You can't rush it in my life. I can't rush it in your life. We have to let God use us. So if we learn their background, then all of a sudden we see how far they've come instead of how much further they have to go. And that's what makes us patient with each other. See, when we look beneath the surface at the internal pain that we may have or still going through, because behind every person there's always loneliness, there's hurt, there's depression, there's anxiety. The Bible says it like this: therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. That's Romans 15:7. See, merciful people are loving people. They're not quick to criticize or judge. They realize that hurtful people oftentimes are people who have been hurt. Right after I first gave my heart to the Lord, I heard a pastor make this statement, and I've said it many times over the years. Can I just tell you this, and we need to expect it. Hurt people hurt people. It's that simple. People that have been hurt will usually hurt others. okay? And we have to be merciful with that. We've got to love people beyond that because they're not all like me and they're not all like you. And friends, we need to allow God to work in their life. We need to allow time for God to touch their lives. And again, we need to look at how far they've come, not how far they have left to go. See, and if we'll be patient, if we'll be loving toward those people and be patient with them, God will draw them and God will help them. The second thing that we look at is this, is that we need to be forgiving. We need to be forgiving. When people make a mistake, do we rub it in or do we try and rub the mistake out? See, when people let us down, do we hold it over their heads, never letting them off the hook, or do we show them a little mercy and forgiveness? Now, let me just say this morning, okay? I'm thankful for God's mercy in my life because there's a lot of years I had the spirit of dumb in a big way, okay? I lived, you know, and I still do from time to time. But we can't hold things over people's head. Okay, we can't do that. You know, I've heard the old statement just like we all have. Well, they made their bed, now they're going to have to lay in it. Well, that's not very merciful. Okay, it's not very merciful. Here's what I know, and especially, and parents, let me just say this to you as parents this morning. If you burn the bridge with your children, they'll never have a bridge to walk back across to. Don't ever burn the bridge with your kids. No matter how disappointed you are, don't tell them that. Always give your children a soft place to land because at some point they're going to come back across that bridge. But if we've burned it, they don't have a way to get back. They don't have a way to get back. Here's what I know about those things is that if we'll pray and we'll believe God, God brings them back. But we've got to give them a soft place to land when they come back. Okay? And what I'm saying is this, there's some of you that are in this room this morning that are older than me that burned bridges with your parents years and years ago and you've never gone back. You've never gone back. And friends, here's what I know about being merciful and being gracious to one another is that we give each other a bridge to walk back across and we give people a soft place to land when they do. We can't just look at it and say, well, you made one mistake and you're done. Okay? If that would have happened to me, I'd have been done a long time ago. They could have just stuck a fork in me. You know, he's done. And that's all there is to it. So here's what the scripture says in Colossians 3, verse 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgive you, so you also must do. So in other words, what we have to do is we have to look at it in light of who Jesus is in our life and the mercy that Christ had on us. See, because there were times that we didn't do everything right either. But the Lord didn't throw us out. He kept calling us to himself. He kept calling us to himself. It's interesting, now hear me this morning, it's interesting that when we forgive, when we receive forgiveness, how right it feels. It feels good, doesn't it? You know, if somebody forgives us, we're just like, man, I feel better about that and, you know, and stuff. But what's really interesting is when we're called to forgive, how wrong it feels. And that's because we don't want to forgive. Instead, we want justice, don't we? They need to pay for it. Some of you probably know this and some of you probably don't, but I am like a Craigslist freak. Every night before I go to bed, I probably spend like 45 minutes on Craigslist because I'm always looking for a deal, okay? Like these pants that I have on right now. No, I'm teasing. I look at cars. I look at motorcycles. I look at farm and garden. I look at RVs. I mean, you never know. Somebody might be giving something away for free and you just don't know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you're always looking for a deal. So I'm just like this Craigslist freak, and I'm always looking at things. And so anyways, I'm looking at Craigslist, you know, and the other day I'm looking at something, and I mean, this thing is a pile of junk. I don't care who you are. It's a pile of junk. And here's what it says underneath of it. It says, we'll have to see in person. Picture doesn't do it justice. That reminds me of the guy that goes and gets his picture taken. And he comes back to the guy that took his picture, the photographer, and he goes, listen, this picture doesn't do me justice. And the photographer says, dude, you don't need justice, you need mercy, you know, is what you need, okay? Because here's what we all know, that it is a lot easier to criticize than it is to sympathize. It's a lot easier to point a finger than it is to lend a helping hand. But if we want to be merciful and to be blessed, we have to learn to forgive. The third thing is this, is to be helpful. Here's what Proverbs, the wisest man, Solomon, wrote this. Proverbs 3:27, it says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power or your hand to do so." Don't withhold good from people who deserve it if it's within your hand to do it, okay? See, mercy is giving practical assistance. There are people always who are hurting, but feeling sorry for them isn't mercy, nor is it being Christ-like. But when we do something about it, it's showing mercy, which is exactly what Jesus did. He went around doing good. He helped the people that were going through things. Remember what he said? He said they look like sheep without a shepherd. He said these people are lost and they're just traveling through and they're like sheep without a shepherd. The Apostle John said it like this, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So that's what mercy does. It doesn't just look at something and you feel sorry about it. It puts feet to our faith. We do something about it. It's faith in action. I think these are the kind of verses that really need to grab our heart, because we need to stop saying to people that we love you. Instead, what we need to do is start showing it. Let's do something about it. Let's show them mercy. John Wesley said it like this, and I like this. He said, "Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people that you can, as long as you ever can." I know you want me to read that again, so I will. Now hear it. Do all the good that you can by all the means you can, in all the ways that you can, in all the places that you can, at all the times you can, to all the people that you can, as long as you ever can. We need to help people that are hurting. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Jesus was the one that talked about it. Here was a man who was mugged and he was thrown to the side of the road. And the Bible says that he was practically dead. And these two religious leaders saw him. They cross over on the other side of the road purposely to avoid helping this guy. So then this other guy comes along who was a Samaritan, who was a man who was shunned by the Jews, which included this guy that got mugged. And instead of doing nothing, he took pity on him and he takes him to the Super 8. You know, and he tells the manager at the Super 8, "Whatever the charges are, I'll pay for it." You know, so that's what he does. You know, he takes care of him. That's love in action. That's mercy. Okay? And then the fourth thing, and I when I say four, I got three more, so I'm barely halfway through this. Okay? I just need you to know that I only count up to like four, and then I start again at one. Okay? If we're going to be merciful and we're going to be blessed, we have to be friendly. Okay? We've looked at this verse at the beginning of our of what we talked about today, And we'll look at it in this context. In Luke 6:33, it says, "And if you do good to those who do good to you, then what credit is there for you? For even sinners do the same. But love your enemies." Now hear this morning, because we don't like any of this right here. "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." Remember what the Bible says in Romans? It says, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies of God, Christ died for us. We couldn't do anything to pay him back. Okay? Be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. See, mercy is doing good to those who do evil to you. And I got to tell you, I push back on this just like we all push back on it. Because having things done to us or evil done to us, it's not fun. It's not pleasant. But friends, if we handle it right and our attitude is right and we do what God's asking us to do, can I just tell you that he'll bless you beyond measure? Here's what it says. When people hurt you, or here's what society says, when people hurt you, hurt them back. But here's what Romans 12:17 says. "But God says, do not repay evil for evil, but pay evil back with good." So the next time
that we see a person who's constantly criticizing, Jesus says to do something good for them. And the best way that we do that is when they criticize, give them a compliment. Man, you're good at that. You're the best of that at anybody I've ever seen in my life. No, don't do that. Don't do that. When people tear us down, encourage and build them up. Because again, remember, we don't know where they've come from. Instead of looking at how far they need to go, we need to look at how far they've come. That's being merciful. It's returning good for evil. If we want to eliminate an enemy, turn them into a friend. Turn them into a friend. Smother them with kindness. Because when we do, the Lord helps us to be in control of that situation. Solomon said it like this. He said, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Wow. We have to remember that placing coals on someone's head wasn't a curse, nor is it something that we do to someone to make them feel bad. Rather, it is bestowing a blessing on them. Because mercy is love in action. It's the way God treats people. Throughout the Bible, we are told that God is a God of compassion. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love. He's full of mercy. But when it comes to us being merciful, this is tough for us to do, especially the way other people treat us. When we need some motivators, sometimes we need some motivators to help us to be merciful to people. So let me give you three of those, and then we'll be done this morning. Okay, here's some motivators that help us to be merciful to others, is that we have to remember that God has shown us mercy. God has shown us mercy. In the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18, the king said to the unmerciful servant, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Remember the story? This guy comes, he owes this guy a ton of money, okay? And he comes and he says, I don't have anything, I can't pay you back. And the guy was gracious to him, and he sent him on his way. And then that guy had somebody else that owed him a fraction of that money. And what did he do? He grabbed him, and he made him go to jail. And so this other guy heard what he did, and he brought him back. And he said, because of what you did. Okay? And it's a powerful story. You can read it in Matthew 18. See, God expects us to show others the same mercy that he has shown us. And if we're finding it hard to be merciful, the best thing to do is to remember how much mercy God showed by sending Jesus to die in your place today. To die in your place. For me, the amount of hurt that I've done in my relationship with God, and then to know that God was still willing to give me mercy, really kind of blows my mind. And it helps me to realize how much I really need to forgive and have mercy toward others. Let me say it like this. I grew up in church. When I was a sophomore in high school, and I've shared my testimony here, and a lot of you know it, but my sophomore year of high school, I just kind of checked out of church. I went, but I didn't participate. I just sat. You know, I was that guy that came in, found a place, didn't want anybody touching me. I didn't want anybody looking at me. I just wanted to be left alone. And when the pastor said, bow your head at the end, I was out, okay? And so after Gretchen and I got married when we were in junior high, that's not too far from the truth, actually. But anyways, we got married, and I was going to church, and we were attending a large church, and it was kind of cool because it was a big church, and I could hide there, you know? And I didn't want to go to hell, so I went to church. And kind of a weird philosophy, but that was kind of, that was where I was at that time. And so anyways, as I was going through this, Gretchen and I had been married for a couple of years, and all of a sudden I started having dreams at night that Jesus came. And the Bible says that, you know, that Jesus is coming again, Christ is coming. And the Bible says that he's coming back for those who are ready to meet him, that have their sins forgiven, that have committed their lives to Christ, that are walking with Jesus. He's coming back for them. And I wasn't anywhere close to any of that, what I just told you right there. And I started having dreams at night that Jesus had come back, and this went on for weeks. And finally, it got to the point where I thought I was having a nervous breakdown because I was just like freaking out all the time. And I was never a drinker. I never had done drugs. That wasn't my life. That wasn't even a part of who I was as a person. But I was away from Jesus. And so what I would do is I was afraid to go to sleep at night, because I was afraid that if I went to sleep, Jesus was going to come and I was going to be left. And so I'd stay up, and this dates me now, so those of you that are older in the room are going to know how old I am, but I'd watch the 11 o'clock news, and then I'd watch Johnny Carson. And after Johnny Carson was on, then I'd watch the 1 o'clock movie that lasted until 3. And then at 3 o'clock, the Native American head came on the screen with a big number 3 on it. You remember that? And there was this particular sound that goes, boo, like that. And that, in simple layman's terms, means TV's done, time to go to bed. So I'd go to bed. And an hour later, I'd wake up, and back then, I kind of looked more like Jesus because I had hair like down to here maybe. And, that was bad. I shouldn't have said that. Sorry. But I'd wake up an hour later, and I'd just be soaking wet. And I'd wake up, and I just knew that Christ had come, and I was left. And there was only one person in my life at that time that I knew that was a Christian, that, and that was my mom. And my mom and dad were living in eastern Montana, and I knew that my dad, he worked in the oil field, and I knew that my dad left at 5 a.m., so at 4 o'clock in the morning when I'd wake up and I'd just be freaking out and I'd dial my mom's number, and as soon as my mom would answer the phone, I'd just go, because if Jesus would have come, she wouldn't have answered the phone. You following me? So anyways, my mom would answer the phone, and I would say to my mom, she would say, why are you calling so early? And I'm just like, oh, I couldn't sleep, and I just thought I'd call and see how things are going. How's Dad doing, you know, blah, 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 you know, just doing all this, you know. And then I'd hang up, and I just like, well, that happened a lot, you know. And so anyways, over a period of time, you know, I got up, and we went to church. And this time, because I was too afraid, because the pastor in that big church, that guy really got me. Because when he asked people to commit their life to Jesus, he made them walk to the front. You know, he'd say, if you're here this morning and you need Jesus in your life, I want you just to stand from where you are, walk right down here. But he didn't end with that. He'd say, because the Bible says that if you're ashamed of me before men, and I'm just like, ooh, I hated that part. It's just like, mm. So when I knew it was time for me to give my heart to Jesus, I went to a different church. That's how much courage I had. And I remember going to this church, and it was in South Salem. And I don't know what the pastor preached that morning, but when he gave an invitation to come forward to receive Christ as Savior, I got up out of the chair, and I walked down, and I knelt down, and somebody was touching me on my left arm, and I turned around, and it was Gretchen, and both of us made a commitment to Christ that morning. And our lives have never been the same since. And friends, what I'm saying is this. It wasn't very long after that that I really started feeling like God was saying that he wanted me to do what I'm doing today. And I kept saying, God, I can't do that. I was such a dork back then. You know, I walked away from you deliberately, and how could you ever use somebody like me? And we had that battle going on. And then one day I'm reading in the scripture, and here's what the scripture says. The scripture says, and this is the Apostle Paul writing, he goes, forgetting the things which are behind, I press on to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said this, you got to quit remembering and forget what's back there, and you got to move forward from here out. Because here's what you know, and here's what I know this morning, that when Jesus forgives our sins, when Christ forgives our sin, and we're talking about the mercy of God, he doesn't hold those things against us. The Bible says that when we ask forgiveness from Christ, that he covers our sin, we are in his righteousness, and he takes our sin and puts it away as far as the east is from the west, that it's under the blood. And friends, what's important is not what happened back there, but from where I'm at today going forward. And it's the same for every one of you. And we can look at it and we can say this, I'm thankful for God's mercy. He didn't hold all that stuff against me. When I asked him to forgive me, and I meant it with a pure heart, and I said, Lord, come into my life. I want to serve you from this day forward. I've never turned my head backwards. I've kept going forward and doing what God's asked me to do, like many of you have in this room. And friends, listen, we will be those people that have received mercy. And because we've received mercy, it helps us to be more merciful to the people that are around us. It helps us. One day, the religious leaders brought to Jesus a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And they said that the woman should be stoned to death. But Jesus turned the tables and he said this: whoever's among you that has no sin, let that person be the first one to cast a stone. And you know what the Bible says that they did? They just kind of dropped the rocks where they were at and they turned around and they walked away. And then Jesus looks at this woman and he says, woman, where are your accusers? And he says this: now go and don't do that anymore. Here's what we know this morning is that we all need mercy. Not only has God been merciful to us in our past, but we're going to need more and more of his mercy in the future, since none of us are perfect. James 2:13 says it like this: for my judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Only those who give mercy will get it in return. And so you may be saying this morning, but you don't know how much I've been hurt. And you know what? You're right, I don't. But if we can't forgive, we can't be forgiven. Or to say it another way, we burn the bridge that we have to walk back across. See, we need to be merciful because we're going to need mercy in the future. And because if we truly got what we deserved this morning, all of us in this room, none of us would be here today. See, God doesn't give us what we deserve. Rather, he gives us what we need, and that's his mercy. And then the final thing is this morning, is that mercy brings happiness into our lives. It brings happiness into our lives. We can't put those two words together, unhappiness and being unhappy and being unmerciful. See, the most miserable people to be around are those who harbor resentment and those who are unwilling to forgive a grudge. Here's what the scripture says: the merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. That's Proverbs 11:17. Doing acts of mercy gets us out of ourselves and away from our own problems and produces happiness. Friends, listen, here's what I'm saying by that, is if we're going to help others, and the way that we get out of our own deal is by being helpful to other people. We've got to realize that there's more than life. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news this morning, and so hear my heart, but I can just tell you today that the world doesn't revolve around anybody sitting in this room this morning. It doesn't. God's the one that's in control. God's the one that calls the shots. God's the one that does all the things that we need. And doing acts of mercy helps us to see that there's something bigger than our own selves. So let me conclude by saying this. How do we become merciful? We start by experiencing God's mercy for ourselves. We can't offer to others what we have not received from God. We can't. Jesus said that God wants none to perish, but all to come to eternal life. So who do we need to forgive today? Who do you need to forgive today? Who needs a little mercy in their life this morning? Who are we holding their past over their heads? Because today, we need to start offering them forgiveness of mercy. And friends, can I just tell you, that's the type of church that I want to be a part of. That's the kind of church that I want to be involved in. A place that is patient with others. A place that is forgiving. A place that will be able to help people who are hurting. A place that instead of getting even, we extend grace to them and we extend mercy. Because we all need to be forgiven. We all need mercy from God. And we can expect God's mercy in full if we'll yield ourselves to him. If we'll yield ourselves to him. Now let me close by saying this. Did I close once already? I might have, as I continue to close. Here's what I know. There were people that were praying for me, and I want to just say this to parents right here this morning. Don't burn bridges with your kids. Don't burn bridges with your kids. Here's what happens. Sometimes we say, but my kids were raised in church and my kids know better and they're not serving God today and they're not this and they're not that and one thing another. I'm just telling you, don't burn bridges with your kids. Okay? give them a soft place to land, because at some point they're going to come back. And if you don't have a bridge for them to come back and you don't have a soft place for them to land, it's done. It's done. Don't burn the bridge with your kids. Don't burn it. There are some of you that are in this room today, and your kids, and maybe your parents are gone today. You'll always be their kids. And maybe they didn't see what's happened in your life recently because they're already gone. I don't care how old the kids that you are in this room today, God is always calling us and he's saying it's time to come home. He never burns his bridge with us. He never burns his bridge with us. And he calls us home. And friends, here's what I know. Colby, come here for a minute. This is my son. He's going to be mad at me for doing this.
It's all right. It means free coffee for the rest of the week.
It does. When we came here 15 years ago, Colby didn't come with us. And when we came here 15 years ago, Colby went to church, and I just want to make sure that I'm saying this right. He would go to church and he'd say, those people there don't care about me. All they care about is you and mom. Because when I go there, they don't ask me how I'm doing. They ask, how's your parents doing? And so because of that, Colby kind of drifted away and kind of walked away from the Lord. Would that be accurate?
Yeah.
And we started having conversations, and some things took place, and Colby had called me at 2 o'clock in the morning, and can I just tell you, I can't even find my back pockets at 2 o'clock in the morning. And he would start asking me questions about Scripture and why this and why that and what makes us right and everybody else wrong. And I don't know that we had ever said that, but, you know, those were things that were going through. And so anyways, things were happening. And so anyways, we began to pray, and we were praying. And as we were praying, Gretchen would be praying, and she'd say, God, we've done what you've asked us to do. We've followed you. We've tried to do what you've asked us to do. But she said, what about our son? And I came home one day from the church, and Gretchen was in tears, and she says to me, she goes, I was praying today, and I was asking God again, God, what about our son? And she said, and as clear as I've ever heard God speak to my heart, God said this, I didn't realize he was yours. I thought he belonged to me. Now, parents, hear me today. And she said, the Lord showed her, me and her, standing on a platform similar to this in Salem, Oregon, clear back in 1984, when we dedicated Colby to Jesus, and we said, Lord, we give back to you what you have blessed us with. And Gretchen says, the Lord showed me that, and then he said this, maybe I'm trying to do something in Colby's life that I don't need your help with. Now, friends, listen, that's a big deal. Because I can just tell you right now, as parents, you want to control everything. It's true. We try and control everything. And it wasn't long after that, that probably 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, that Jeremy Hawker, who you guys all know is our associate pastor, was sitting with Colby and Sherry's right over here on Oda Meadow Road. And Colby recommitted his life to Jesus. That's been a lot of years ago.
Yeah.
And I think that you probably have the same testimony that I have. You haven't ever looked back since then. And I'm thankful for that. But friends, what I'm saying is this, that as parents, because we want to control everything, we can burn the bridge. And we cannot let God do what God's trying to do in our kids' lives. And here's what I know. If God is saying to us, maybe I'm trying to do something in Colby's life that I don't need your help with. Could he be saying that to some of us who are in the room this morning? Because here's what I know, to extend mercy, or we can say, well, they've made their bed and they need to lay in it now. I'm going to lean to the side of mercy. And I hope all of us will, because there's some of you that are in this room this morning, and you know what? It's time to come home. Jesus is saying to you this morning, it's time for you to come home. It's been long enough. You've been away from me long enough. You've been away from the family long enough. I've got better for you than what you're going through right now. It's time for you to come home. It's time for you to come home. And if you're here this morning and it's time for you to come home, I'm just going to ask you to come. We're just going to meet right here, and I'm going to meet you right here too. Colby will stand down here with us, because we know what this is like right here. And I kept thinking to myself, I wonder how many times my grandma and my mom were praying, God, don't even let him sleep at night. Don't even let him sleep at night until he comes back to Jesus. Now here's what I know, because I know what this feels like. You're sitting out here in your heart's in your throat right now, and you're thinking, this is a huge thing right here, and it is. And everybody's got their eyes wide open, and we usually do this in secret. But friends, here's what I know. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And I want those of you that are in this room this morning to be ready to meet Jesus, because he is coming again. And if you need him today, our guys are going to come and they're going to do a little music for us. But if you're here and that's who you are today and you need to be here, I want you just to come right here. People love you here. And friends, here's what I know, and here's what we all know, that if I can't serve Jesus inside the church, I'll never serve him outside the church. So will you come today? Let's pray. Jesus, thanks for the people that are in this room today. God, thank you for your mercy and your great grace. God, thank you that you don't give us what we deserve. But Lord, you extend mercy and you extend great grace. God, I'm thankful today. Because Lord, if I would have got what I deserved, I would have been gone a long time ago. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you can take, Lord, broken lives and you can put them back together again. God, you can rebuild bridges that have been burned. God, you can restore them. And Jesus, I'm asking you to do that this morning. I'm asking you to do that this morning. Lord, there are people today in this room that need restoration. God, they need to be restored with you. God, they need to come home today. And Lord, they need to know that you stand with your arms wide open, ready to receive them. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. So let's stand. Let's make it easy for people to get out. And friends, if that's you this morning, I want you just to come. Let's just meet right here. I'm going to meet you right here. Colby's going to meet you here. And